from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
1 o'clock hour here in St. Joe. Cody and Gold broadcasting live from Chiefs camp. Empty practice fields in front of us at this point as practice wrapped up around 11:30 today. Back at it tomorrow, but they had a long, full padded practice today. And we'll get back into some of the things that we saw, but also Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. He's been making his training camp tours throughout the summer, and today he found himself in St. Joe. And it was good to talk to you in person, man. You know, we always talk on the phone, but good to see you in person. What did you make, I guess, of today compared to where you've been so far?
You know, I think the biggest impression I get from the Chiefs, I felt this way last year too, is just they practice so incredibly fast. Like, that is something where, you know, they practice for 2 hours. You know, I was in Minnesota yesterday. They practiced for 2 hours, Green Bay, touched into that. And I thought those practices were well run. But when you come to Kansas City, there's such an efficiency about it. I mean, they get so many plays in. There's very little wasted time. And then they end the day with, you know, the long drill, which I'm sure the players love. but, man, they work. They work. You can see why they get out of the gate traditionally very quickly.
Do yourself a favor. Go back and listen to – there's a New Heights episode, Matt, when Jason and Travis Kelce are talking about long drive, and Jason is just like – he's like – he's still mad at me. He's like, oh, my God, dude. He was like the first – his rookie year, he said, it made him throw up, and then he, like, got knocked out of a play, and then he had to keep blocking people. He just kept, like, falling to the ground because it was taking him out.
It really is impressive. I mean, when you think about the fact, and I'm sure a lot of people listening have been out to training camp for the Chiefs this year, other years, where it is, I mean, it's hot. It's not 80, you know, it's not 80 with a breeze, right? I mean, it's hot. And, you know, to be able to run, you know, 15, 16 plays in a row when you've already been out there pretty much nonstop for a few hours, you know, that is the kind of thing that when you're ready to quit in October or November, you say to yourself, I can't quit because I went through all that garbage. I'm not going to quit now. I do think it builds teams. I do think that stuff builds some character, some moral fiber. So, you know, listen, for the Chiefs, the talent's obvious. I mean, anybody who watches them, you don't even have to compare it to another team to go, yeah, they're loaded. But I think it's also just the little details with them that they do stuff in a way that other teams, frankly, they don't. They don't do it that way.
How about the wide receiver position? It's interesting to me because the two places you went, the Vikings, they're a no-doubt wide receiver organization. They got Addison and Justin Jefferson. They're loaded.
Yep.
Green Bay has a bunch of guys that people think could be better, but we don't exactly know the full answer on that. How would you compare the Chiefs' wide receiver talent in your stops versus even some of the places you've been recently?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You're right. Now, when I went to Minnesota, Jefferson was having a vet day, but I think it's safe to say he's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think you need to have watched him practice to know that. You're square.
I'm not worried about much slippage. But then, you know, and of course, as you mentioned, they have Addison and Hawkinson when he's back. And then, in Green Bay. Green Bay is funny because Green Bay really, They don't have a number one necessarily, but they have like four guys who can all play. And I think the Chiefs, I would liken it more to that, but better. Because with Green Bay, it's a lot, you know, it's Jaden Reed and it's Christian Watson and so, you know, Romeo Doubs. None of those guys are Travis Kelce. Like, none of those guys, I would even argue, are Rashee Rice. Like, I think Rice is better than anybody that the Packers have. And by the way, I think the Packers are good. I think they're like an 11-win team. The thing that struck me with the Chiefs receivers today, other than the speed, is just the amount of depth. Like, when I was watching Worthy, he had a couple of plays, just one big bomb down the field, you know, over Brian Cook. And you're watching that kid and you're thinking, the way Andy uses his rookie receivers and the way he kind of shelters them, he's probably the fourth passing option on this team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's probably Kelce, Brown, and Rice in some order. So if Xavier Worthy is your fourth option when you're throwing the football, that's pretty good. It's certainly in stark contrast to the disaster that it was a year ago.
We're talking to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. He was at Chiefs camp today. And you mentioned Rashee Rice, so I'll ask you what your thought is right now, maybe what you've heard on a potential suspension. Because the more we talk about it, we think the closer we, of course, get to the season, the less likely it is that a suspension happens.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I've asked around, and you don't get much of an answer. I mean, I think at this point, it's still up in the air. Now, you do hear people say stuff like, well, they can't suspend them yet because the legal process hasn't played out. That's not true. The NFL could suspend him tomorrow,
right,
if they feel like that's, you know, the correct move. And the NFLPA, you know, can't really fight it. That being said, I do agree with your premise. Like, we're into August now. We are less than 10 days away from the preseason starting for the Chiefs. Preseason, technically, the NFL starts tonight, the Hall of Fame game. I think the further we go now, like, you're getting to a point where, yeah, like, I don't think they're going to suspend him during the year. I just don't see that happening. So I think he's either suspended now, like probably within the next 2 weeks,
yeah,
or he's suspended, if he's going to be suspended, assumingly so, next season, you know, before or for next season. So, like, I don't see any world where it's week 10 and the NFL is like, hey, now he gets an 8-game suspension. They're not going to want to make that a headline during the season. They're going to want to do it when, you know, it's not as much in the spotlight. So, yeah, with every passing day, it becomes more and more probable he's not going to get suspended.
Do you worry about, like, I guess maybe just because I've watched them play the last 5 years, is there any additional pressure for them on the three-peat end? They've talked about it. They certainly are aware of that goal, but when they were going for back-to-back championships this year, they're going for back-to-back championships a few years ago. I know it's the never been done in NFL history. Gold and I both think that if that pressure kicks in, talk to me in the playoffs. It doesn't actually, the three-peat pressure doesn't start until a postseason game at the earliest.
I would agree. I mean, look, think of it this way, right? Like, if you're the Chiefs, you're not sitting there in whatever, week 10 or whatever,
October,
you know, against
15th,
Carolina.
Yeah.
Right, and going, geez, guys, I don't know if we can repeat this year, right? Like, nobody is going to be sitting there, or the opposite, going, we're definitely going to win the Super Bowl. Nobody's going to do that. I think where the pressure comes in is if they get to, like, the AFC title game again, I think that's where it really starts. If you win this game, you're in the Super Bowl. You know, and obviously, if you're in the Super Bowl, if you win this, you do something nobody's ever done in the Super Bowl era. But at the same point, like, I wrote a whole feature about this. It's going to be an SI in August. And I talked to a lot of guys, including, by the way, a player off the Bulls in the 90s who did it, like, kind of get an idea of, like, what it takes. And truthfully, almost every one of them, whether they were players in the NFL who weren't able to three-peat, or in this case, a player in those Bulls who did, I think a lot of it comes down to, like, how healthy are you? You know, like, they know they have the talent to do it. It's just a question of the health, the bounces, the breaks. I mean, I don't know that the pressure is really going to be a thing for them. I think it's just going to come down to how healthy are they come January.
Matt, if there's one area, though, that either is obvious, you know, or is not, on the other hand, not being discussed, what do you think could end up being a flaw if we are sitting here and they were to get bounced early on, or the wild card round is a lot more competitive and all that? Is it just the number two cornerback spot, or is there somewhere else?
No, you know, honestly, taking injuries out of it, the only thing that I really think that I look at with them and go, you know, that could be a little bit of something they got to figure out, if they have any injuries on the interior of that offensive line, that could be a problem. Like, watching them today, and granted, keep in mind, I'm a national guy. I'm here for one day and I'm out. I'm not a beat guy who sees them 25 times in practice. The interior of that offensive line, the backups, not Smith or Humphrey, it was not good. It was a struggle, and they don't have Nick Allegretti this year. You know, that's a guy who, like, last year, you lose Tooney. Okay, Allegretti's not Joe Tooney, but he's good. He's a good football player. Do they have that guy? Now, maybe he's like a guy like a Hunter Norzad. Maybe as the year goes on, he gets more comfortable. Maybe he does get to that level. But that would be my one, you know, that along with, hey, you know, his left tackle at least just solid.
Yeah.
Because if they're that, like, if they're healthy on the interior and the left tackle is even just average, league average, the rest of that team is absurd. I mean, I was sitting there watching practice today thinking about, you know, what am I going to write? And there's nothing that really jumped out at me that, like, this is a real problem. I mean, they, you know, what is the two or three biggest camp battles? One of them is probably, like, wide receiver six.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
It's absurd. Like, even for a great team, that's, so they're stacked again.
Just quickly, since we've got a couple more minutes left with you, the game tonight, everybody's always excited when football first comes back. I had said earlier, I'm curious of your opinion, I think C.J. Stroud screwed over Caleb Williams. He set an unfair standard for an already pressure-packed situation because the Bears fans have got to be so desperate for a quarterback based on their history, and you couple it with the fact that C.J. Stroud was way better than any rookie quarterback should be.
You know, it's funny. I went to OTAs for the Bears. I just wanted to get a look at Williams. I didn't write anything about it. I just went and watched him. And, I mean, he's the goods. Like, that kid can throw the ball in a way that most guys forget it. No chance. But it is funny. Like, I'm based outside Chicago, and you get so many people who will come up to you if they know what you do for a living, and they'll go, hey, man, I am so excited, but I am so scared. Yeah, and I'm like, hey,
I remember
look, man,
being in that position a few years ago. It's okay.
I grew up a Chiefs fan. I get it. Okay? I get it. I totally get it. But, you know, look, I will say, I think the Bears, I have them as a wild card team. I think three teams coming out of that division. They're talented. And I like the fact that Poles, of course, comes out of Kansas City. I thought it was smart. And he was like, look, we're going to go get Keenan Allen because he's really good and he's going to help you as a rookie. And we're going to draft Rome Odunze and not like a defensive tackle because it's going to help you. Like, I think that's so underrated. Some of these teams draft these quarterbacks. Like, quite honestly, New England. What is Drake May supposed to do with that team? Now, maybe he turns out to be great, but, like, what is he?
Bryce Young last year, too, Matt. Yeah, same situation.
Nobody's helping these guys. Like, I don't care. Unless you are just a rare guy who you're so unbelievable, you come in and you're just great right off the bat. Like, good luck. Good luck with that talent pool around you.
Yeah, I don't think a quarterback, though, as a rookie, has walked in to a better offense, though, than Caleb Williams, right? I mean, we can question the head coach, maybe, and whether or not they should have moved on. But just walking into that building day one, Caleb Williams has a great situation.
Yes. He's got real talent. There's real talent around him to go out and play good football. And I think, you know, it's such an underrated thing. I think a lot of times we look at these guys, and we all do it. We're all, you know, we all have to fill time at different points of the year. And I'm like, well, you know, this guy may be a bust, this guy may not be. Like, for example, okay, I don't know how good Bo Nix is going to be at Denver. I have no idea. Maybe the kid surprises a lot of people and he's really good, or maybe he's just not that good of a player. We'll stick. Time will tell. Other than Cortland Sutton, like, good luck. I mean, you walk
Marvin
into a situation
Mims.
Where it's just, there's not, like, what do you do? What do you, like, so it's, I think sometimes people don't factor that in, and they're just like, this guy's not any good. Well, yeah, he's not any good because he's surrounded by you, me, Gold, and Cortland Sutton. Like, well, that's why. That's why he's not any good.
I run a great slant. That's unfair to me.
Last one for you, Matt, though. Is there, whether it's a player, whether it's a team, knowing that we're still well over a month away from the start of the season, is there a player or team that either is not being discussed enough or you think is going to surprise everybody, good or bad?
Yeah, I think in the AFC the Colts could be pretty good because I think Richardson's good and I think Steichen's a really good head coach. I think he's an excellent head coach. So I think they could be good. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl or anything like that, but would I be totally shocked if they compete to win that division, maybe won a playoff game? No. And the NFC, you know, I kind of look at Washington. And Washington, you almost always just automatically write them off because they're Washington, but I think that Quinn is going to get them to play very well defensively. And offensively, if Daniels is good right away, You have McLaurin. You got Dotson. Like, they're at least interesting. And in the division where, quite honestly, who's the sure thing in that division? Who is it? So I'm curious to see how that shakes out.
Matt Verderam, Sports Illustrated. Good to see you up here at camp, man. Appreciate it. Safe travels. I know you got some more stops over the next couple weeks.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, guys. Anytime.
There you go. Matt Verderam joining us here on Cody and Gold. The Colts are a very interesting team. I agree with them in just in terms of, like, you don't know what to expect.
I don't believe – I'm a hater on Washington, but that's fine. Like, Colts, I definitely agree with.
With the Colts, Anthony Richardson, we just don't know yet. Like, anybody acting like they already know they're set. No, there's the same questions about Richardson that
we had.
We got
like 5 games where he looked pretty good, but yeah, I don't know anything else.
It's the same questions. Now, do I like Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor? They draft A.D. Mitchell. Do I think their head coach is pretty damn smart? Yeah, like, so – and it's not a – a gauntlet of a division. It's getting tougher, but it's not a gauntlet. Whereas, yeah, Washington, the reason why I think Washington, I hear people, Matt and others, mention them is, unlike the Giants or something, we know what Daniel Jones is. He's not magically just going to be great. Jaden Daniels, if he's one of the really special young quarterbacks, then he can elevate everybody and they surprise everybody right away, right? You know, whether it's Stroud or a Stroud-type season or a Mahomes-type season, like, there's a chance. Now, Jaden Daniels could have a Bryce Young-type season, too. We don't know, but there's the chance. And they have an experienced coach that you know defensively they will be better. The Giants and some of these other teams, you just know, like, there is no higher ceiling for Jones. There is no higher ceiling for Derek Carr now down in New Orleans. We know what they're going to get.
No, I understand the idea that it's static, but I still think they're in a challenging division. Not a walkover, not a cakewalk. But the Eagles are very rarely a laughing stock, and same with Dallas. They might not show up in the postseason.
Sure.
But they're not pushovers either. And I think some of it is, this just comes down to, like, when you start looking at players. I think, we talked about this, I think, with Cortland Sutton, and you were on the Cortland Sutton side, I think maybe correctly based on the way it's been going. I'm not as high on their wide receivers. Everyone loves Washington Webb, and I'm like, they haven't done anything. And I know it's easy to just be like, well, just wait till they get a quarterback. They've had bad quarterback play, but it hasn't been like bottom barrel into, like, it hasn't been miserably bad. It wasn't like they weren't getting Zach Wilson throwing them the ball. I think some of that is they have underperformed because they're not as good as people think. That goes back to the two teams I feel that way about. Washington a little bit less because I don't watch them quite as much, although I do see them because see all those. And this has always been my argument on the Chargers. Gush all you want about how good Derwin James and all these guys are, and tell me how they got 4 Super Bowl Hall of Famers, in your opinion, on their team, and they got the 27th ranked defense every year. No defensive coaching is that bad, okay? Someone would make up some difference. They've just overinflated some players. I think that, and that's an easy thing to do. I did that with Cortland Sutton. I thought Russell would be better because Cortland Sutton's a really good player, and just wait till he gets a quarterback. And Russell wasn't stunk, but, like, still, I just think that sometimes the guys aren't as good as they look.
Well, that's why the Chargers, like, this year, I think, you know, it's kind of a reset.
No excuses.
I think Harbaugh eventually does get them. Like, I think a year from now, they might be a problem. They're really, like, a real, like, not the...
Yeah, like an actual threat in the division.
Their BS offseason, everybody picks them. Like, actually, okay, all right. But this year, they had to move on from certain guys, like you mentioned.
They did.
Keenan Allen and others, because they were getting too old. Mike Williams, like, all right, it's time for a reset. But to me, I know in KC, when we have Mahomes, it's very easy to think Herbert's not very good. I think Herbert is still the right guy for them.
Herbert's really good.
I still think he's the right guy for them. Now they have a competent head coach, but it's not going to happen this year. Like, I will be stunned. I really will. If you tell me the Chargers get to 10 wins, 11 wins, I would be stunned. I think they're an 8-9 win team. By the way, it doesn't mean they can't beat the Chiefs and split with the Chiefs this year.
Oh,
the Broncos beat the Chiefs last year. The Raiders beat the Chiefs. Like, doesn't
what
mean
a weird year.
You know,
they
still won the Super Bowl. You know? But the Chiefs were so vulnerable last year. That's what's crazy. They were so vulnerable, and these teams still swung and missed when it came to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just sometimes talent gets misevaluated. This is my whole thing on, like, Trevor Lawrence, because in shorts and a T-shirt, they look the part. And because they can make every throw. Or Cortland Sutton is tall and fast and can run routes, but there's something missing. Sometimes there's just something missing. I think this happens probably more at wide receiver and skill position than it does at quarterback. But I asked that question in the middle of last year. Like, Herbert has all the physical tools in the world. He can throw the ball. He's got a howitzer. He seems to have good instincts. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He doesn't throw a lot of picks. He throws for a ton of yardage. Why the hell doesn't he win more? Quarterbacks at that level win. They get to the postseason. They do things in the they don't blow 30-point leads against Jacksonville. There's just like something there. And I think he's very good. But there's just like one thing off. And maybe that one thing was Saleh. Because it's just one thing. I don't think it's like everything's broken with Herbert.
I think the postseason criticism is fair. Otherwise, QB win and loss is I mean, it's not a stat that I think people should subscribe to. Because by that logic, Alex Smith over the last decade was the second best quarterback in football.
You
know what I mean? Like,
it's not just straight wins or losses. It's like you should win more. I'm not saying
it's the playoffs.
13
it's the playoffs
wins.
Is what it is.
Get to the postseason. Win more.
It's the playoffs. It's, you know, that's where then I think you can start talking QB wins and losses. Mm-hmm. Regular season wins losses is not something I lean on as much. Thinking of wins and losses that either matter or don't, and this one tonight doesn't, that's the preseason Hall of Fame game. Texans and Bears.
You got money on it?
I wanted to pull up some odds for you.
Oh, okay. Let me hear it.
The Texans are 1.5-point favorites. The total is 31.5, Cody. 31.5. Okay. I think this is Brett Rippin night. I think Brett Rippin will get some
former
runs
Boise
tonight.
State Bronco. You got to bet
right.
on your
former,
guy,
former Denver Bronco. Brett Rippin's now the backup for Chicago. Also, they still have that Tyson Bagent, whatever.
Bagent.
That kid. Yep.
He had a moment, didn't he?
He did. He
like
played a lot
games.
Last year because Justin Fields was hurt and that bad.
He played a lot. He did play a lot. You know what? I'm thinking I got the Bears tonight. I like Bagent in a meaningless game. He's going to take Brett Rippin never looked good, even for like a half a second. Remember when Brett Rippin finally got
jobs.
That start? Well, I just meant he never looked good as a start. Tyson Bagent at least had a couple of game run where they were fun.
Yeah, it was a good story, too, right?
Me pretending like I know anything. Yeah, his dad's like a professional arm wrestler or something, right?
It was. Was that? Was it?
That's what it was. I think his dad was a professional arm wrestler.
I couldn't remember if
he
was
like yoked.
I was trying to see if DraftKings had player ones.
Oh, you want an anytime touchdown?
There's that. No.
Oh, we're in Missouri. I can't even bet. I would say let's do a show bet and see
if we can
win.
DraftKings and Texans
tomorrow.
Are minus two at DraftKings, 1.5 at FanDuel.
Hmm.
Check out FanDuel.
More than actually watching the game, I just like, okay, we get a little Hall of Fame juice, which is kind of fun. And I think for the most part, these are players you and I grew up watching. This is like Andre Johnson and Dwight Freeney. I mean, this is like
True. Four hour speed.
You know how many Hall of Fame games are full of dudes I've never heard of? Or guys I didn't watch. Maybe I've heard of them, Gold, but I didn't watch them play football. I watched
We're getting
Andre
old,
Johnson.
Cody.
I watched Dwight Freeney. I watched their whole career. I watched them from the time they got in the league until they were gone.
This is how it goes.
Getting
old. You're going to be sitting back one day and we'll be sitting like, ah, Tom Brady. Remember watching him a bunch when Tom Brady's 70. You know, this is...
Oh, man, I checked out on DraftKings. I can get Chicago plus two. That's my bet.
That's what I was saying. The number's better.
Bears plus two. Got to go with it.
Depending on what side it's on, it's better, right? Like, if you want the Texans, FanDuel's the better bet.
I'm on the Bears side.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll actually end up making a...
Can you already see that they've already got lines for, like, next week?
Well, yeah. I mean...
I can bet the Chiefs, line
preseason.
Right now?
Yeah. Preseason.
Chiefs are plus one. Over under 38.
At Jacksonville.
At Jacksonville. It's a tough one.
It's hostile environment.
Only a one-point favorite or a one-point underdog.
That is going to be the only – preseason's the only time the Chiefs are going to be – they're going to be maybe one other game will the Chiefs be underdogs this year, period.
Probably just like –
and the preseason doesn't even really count.
One on the road against – I'm trying to think.
Somebody.
They've got a tough road schedule this year, so there'll be some game there in underdog probably.
All right, up next we'll get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold, plus our conversation with Jack Cochran, Chiefs linebacker. Got to know him a little bit, and we'll set the stage for this weekend series against the Tigers for the Royals.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo. the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Number one on what's trending as we continue broadcasting from Chiefs training camp. Just a couple notes from camp today. More of a quiet camp, which is usually a good thing, right, at this point in time based on the injury news. So Nick Bolton and Kadarius Toney did not practice, but they were both down here on the practice field, hopefully continuing the trend in the right direction. The one new injury today was Deion Bush. That news came a little later on, the Chiefs confirming that Deion Bush out with an ankle injury. We don't know the severity. Of course, came up with a big-time interception in the postseason for the Kansas City Chiefs, and one of the special teams guys as well. So safety depth and corner depth, man, just getting tested here at camp. I mean, if you include Jalen Watson, Nazi Johnson at times, and we know Justin Reed on the NFI list.
Yeah, been multiple guys across the board. There's no doubt about it. Been tested for sure, but I don't know, pretty healthy day out there today. Next up on Watch Training, the Olympic Games currently underway. The individuals for the women's gymnastics squad is currently there. Suni Lee just put up a good score on the third of, I think, six different events out there, so no official score there yet. Currently, the U.S. does still lead the way at 31 total medals. France second with 27, but it's only six golds for the United States, 11 for China, who's currently in the lead. So need some more gymnastics or swimming medals, maybe a couple of those. Did you see, by the way, we asked a random question. Of which one, if it was a Groundhog Day for 5 years, could you win? Did you see that guy from Turkey?
Nope.
Okay, so there's airsoft pistols. Remember I told you that was maybe the thing that I thought we could do in 5 years? Everyone has these, like, specialized glasses, and they put on these headphones to, like, knock out all the sound, and, like, so you're only looking out of one eye? This dude has a hand in his pocket, no glasses, no headphones, boom, one silver medal. And you're like, okay, if that dude, 51-year-old dude from Turkey, just, like, bam, silver, see ya.
Hey.
That makes me feel like in 5 years I might be able to do it. You should look it up. It's so hilarious.
I'll have to check out that video. Also, here's your five-second spoiler alert for you. If you're not wanting gymnastic results, we do have the results with Biles and Suni Lee. So here you go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm about to spoil it. Simone Biles wins her second Olympic all-around gold and ninth of her career.
Gosh,
also, her teammate, Suni Lee, takes bronze.
There's
another gold for the U.S. How about that?
I think Simone Biles is the greatest American athlete of all time.
Ooh, so she's up there, no doubt. I think Michael Phelps has an argument. Katie Ledecky has a very she's there. She's in that conversation.
I think part of what I'm talking about is like just pure athleticism too. Like I'm just
Michael Phelps. I mean,
I know.
She is in the conversation. Yeah. She's incredible, but I think you can't bring her up without.
Without mentioning some
Phelps
of the other
and Ledecky.
I mean, Ledecky just beat everyone by like 45 minutes
correct.
To win a gold the other night.
Next up on Watch.
Like seven gold medals for the U.S.
Yeah, next up on Watch Training, some positive news on something we mentioned earlier at Browns training camp. Earlier, a really scary situation where Dante Foreman, running back for the Browns, was life-flighted, essentially, a helicopter, on a life flight to a hospital after a scary hit to the head. Latest from Mike Garafolo is that he did sustain the blow to the head. He has movement, though, in his extremities, and he's going to be released from the hospital later today. So, obviously, a good update there for Dante Foreman and for the Browns.
Really, really scary stuff, obviously. Earlier, glad that he's going to be okay, at least okay enough, at least at the moment. Next up on Watch Training, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have made offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs the highest-paid offensive lineman in history, a five-year, $140.63 million contract extension for him. It'll include over $100 million in guarantees. He was the number 13 overall pick. He's already, just a couple of years ago, already a three-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro. He won a Super Bowl his rookie year. So, pretty decent start to Tristan Wirfs' career. Somebody was correctly pointing out there were some real mistakes at the top of that draft, too. That was the Trey Lance draft. That was the, like, think about the 49ers as good as they are now if they hadn't blown that pick and then still successfully drafted Brock Purdy the next year. I understand that's easier said than done. Boy, they bombed on that one. 13th overall for a two-time All-Pro tackle, now the highest-paid offensive lineman in the league. Good job by the Bucks there.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. A reminder, we are broadcasting inside of the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities where our training camp coverage is presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Earlier today, after practice, we had Chiefs linebacker Jack Cochran join us here on the show and got to know him a little bit. Tried to figure out a little bit about his teammates maybe going to a concert tonight. Those were all things we addressed with Jack. Chiefs linebacker Jack Cochran stopping by. We were just talking a little extra work, or at least first-team reps today. Obviously not for, you know, Nick Bolton's hurt, but still a nice opportunity for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's a lot of great opportunities in camp, and I've kind of adapted to just being ready whenever my number's called and try and be able to do as much as possible and help our team be as successful as possible.
What's the most difficult thing, whether it's now working with the ones today or just being in camp in general? This is year two for you. What's the one thing maybe fans just don't even realize? What's the most challenging thing you're doing out there?
Well, I would say, honestly, iron kind of sharpens iron here. Obviously, we're playing against one of the best offenses in the NFL every day, and Pat being one of the best to ever do it. So playing against him every day is a unique challenge. And he's going to find that whatever weaknesses you got, which is a really good opportunity for us to kind of figure out what those are early, and that way we can, you know, grow from those things and adapt and get better.
When you guys go back to the dorms, do you score keep? Like how we got you today? Is there a little bit of like, you know, we got you today. We got the better of long drive yesterday. It seemed like the defense maybe got the better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you definitely keep score. I mean, you're playing against the same group of guys every day, and we're all competitors. So, we're definitely keeping some tallies, I would say.
So a couple of times I feel like once every year there's a time at camp and then there's just like some big concert back at Arrowhead. Tonight it's Morgan Wallen. Is the team going?
I cannot speak to everyone else. I know I have family in town, so I'll be hanging out with them, maybe grab some dinner, and so it'll be pretty chill for
So you
for
won't be at Morgan Wallen.
That's correct.
But some of the other team might be.
I can't speak for everyone else.
We'll find out tonight, I'm sure. Usually that whatever the Arrowhead concert is this time of the year in camp, you know, was it Kenny Chesney last year,
Chesney,
or somebody like that? Are you a country music guy?
Absolutely.
Though?
Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest, so country music through and through.
Who's your concert you go to or you've been to, favorite artist?
That's a good question. I did Zach Brown Band, really love that, and I also did Zach Bryan this spring in Des Moines. He was extremely talented as well, really enjoyed that. I was fanboying for sure.
So we were doing a little research. We're like, all right, so Jack's going to join us on the show. Let's figure out what's new in his life. Looks like you just bought a house.
I did. Wow, you guys are doing your research.
Look, we dug in deep. Yeah. I think your real estate agent posted it. Honestly,
yeah, first-time homeowner, so figuring out what that's all about. It's really nice, I'll say, but man, there's so many little projects. And every time you're sitting around, it's never just like chilling. There's always, I could be fixing this doorknob or, you know, doing whatever it might be.
So are you fix-it-yourself guy, or are you like, you know, have a handyman or calling a contractor? Like if you need to flip a bathroom, are you going to lay the tile?
Try to be. Anything that requires more than a quick YouTube search or a quick article online, I'm going to delegate it off to someone else. But it's a work in progress. I would love to be that DIY guy, but it's not me right
we
now.
Talk about this. YouTube is incredible for that. I fixed a dryer this year.
Yeah.
I like took it apart because like, man, YouTube will show me how to change a part.
Yeah, you can find just about anything on there. I'll tell you what.
We're talking to Chiefs linebacker Jack Cochran here from Chiefs camp. Now, Cody and the guys, our producer, give me a hard time because I'm awful with anything. It doesn't matter. So I will, you know, like TaskRabbit or these different, I will pay. They get, you know, to put up a TV stand, a mount or whatever. I can't do it, man. I don't have the patience. I wanted to take a TV mount off actually recently, and I don't have the tool to even take the damn mount off the wall.
What do you mean? A socket wrench? Are you talking about a socket wrench?
I didn't even know the name of the tool.
Yeah.
So my rule is
the thingy with the knob.
I buy furniture from IKEA, right? My rule is I'll assemble anything that doesn't have drawers. Once it's got drawers, it's out of my realm.
It's going to get too crooked or something?
Yeah, I did it a couple times, and it doesn't come out right, or it ends up falling down or something. So that's where I draw the line.
Never my thing, man. Some people think it's crazy, but I at least want it set up right. Otherwise, it's not going to work for me or anything like that. Back to football just for a second. This year, it's a complete unknown for us. Maybe it is somewhat for you guys. The new kickoff rule. I know you're a big special teams guy for this team, an important piece in that regard, too. So what do we not know about this kickoff rule? What maybe you guys still waiting to figure out?
Yeah, I think what's going to be interesting is no one really knows what anyone else is going to do. So we're kind of just brainstorming. Obviously, we've got our returns and kind of our kickoff concepts. But that first time we go out there, it's going to be the first time we've ever seen another NFL team run a kickoff or kick return rep. So it's kind of, I guess it'll be a little bit trial by fire. Obviously, Coach Tobe and Coach Hill are the best in the business, in my opinion. So they're working really hard at it, and we're getting a ton of reps at it. And obviously, it's new techniques and new schemes for us. So we're all just kind of trying to figure out the fundamentals of it. And then as the season goes on, I'm sure we'll be ready to adapt with kind of whatever everyone's doing and whatever works for us.
Do you guys, like, watch the game tonight? Like, you know, it's a Hall of Fame game, but, like, someone's going to have to do the regular kickoff,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you get a first look at somebody's attempt at what it looks like, or do they just – bury it? Are you guys just going to bury it out of the back of the end zone in preseason and say we don't want to tip our hand?
No, I think there's probably an element of that. Obviously, our nights are pretty busy, so I don't know if we'll be able to tune in a little bit, but I'll definitely be checking out the special teams and kind of see what that looks like. But like you said, I don't think anyone's going to run their real ringer stuff until the regular season. But if nothing else, it's a great opportunity to kind of just see what it looks like and you know, kind of learn from that as much as you can.
And we were saying, even from just a fan perspective, it makes, you know, sometimes preseason can be, you know, as preseason, but the new kickoff rule changes that, I think, for a lot of fans. Like, there's actually a little bit of intrigue with that.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I know we're all really pumped about it. I always think the preseason is awesome. There's so many guys who are winning jobs and creating opportunities for themselves. So to me, it's a really special time in this league, and something that without it, I think a lot of guys might not get the opportunities both on the team they're on and throughout the league that they do because of preseason.
Something Cody and I were talking about is we're joined by Jack Cochran, Chiefs linebacker. I don't know if you saw it went viral yesterday, and Patrick Mahomes also quote tweeted it. The former Georgia quarterback, now Nebraska quarterback, how similar he is to Patrick Mahomes. Have you seen that?
So I saw.
Here's the photo again. But so
this oh, was, my.
So the one on the left is that's Raiola, one of the top quarterbacks in college football heading in.
He wears 15 at Nebraska.
And then there's highlights Nebraska put out yesterday, and even just some of his mechanics. I mean, I guess he's getting trained by Bobby Stroop as well, Mahomes' trainer, so that explains some of it. But, I mean, you can see.
Yeah, he's rocking the Adidas too, man. He's really doing it. At first, I had to squint and figure out who's who.
He's like, wait, is that Pat?
Well, that's a younger picture of Pat too, so.
Yeah, we were saying Raiola, you know, he's got a couple more pounds on Patrick,
he's
I think.
Sure,
you know?
A little bit more beefy, but. Yeah, no, that's doppelganger for sure, yeah.
Which, Hall of Fame game, I guess that's at least what makes it interesting. Like, when you grew up watching football, which were the players that you were like, I want to be just like that guy? Were you, like, a pay attention to the quarterback guy, or were you always, like, loved linebacker play, whatever,
yeah,
right?
So that's a good question. I was a big Luke Kuechly fan, and Ray Lewis, and Ed Reed, those were kind of my guys on the defensive side of the ball. I actually grew up a Green Bay fan, so I was always a big Aaron Rodgers fan. A big Brett Favre fan when I was younger. So I was just diehard football fan and was watching every game every weekend. I'm just on the couch watching ball.
So you went back to Lambeau then last year. Was that your first time at Lambeau, or had you gone as a fan, man?
I had gone as a fan to watch a couple games when I was a kid, but obviously it was cool. You know, snow flurries during pregame, and it was definitely a full circle moment where, you know, in this game, it's obviously a very cool experience of getting to do what we do, but it kind of just becomes routine, and this is what you do. So you have to take those moments to kind of stop and take a moment of appreciation for where you're at and how blessed we are to get to do what we do.
You said your family's in town. Do they stay at your house while you stay in the dorm? Do you go back to Kansas City for dinner? What's the play normally?
So, yeah, it's nice. My house is up on the north side, so if they come, they'll stay at my place, and they got about a 40-minute drive up here. So that's definitely an improvement. It's definitely a step up from my one-bedroom apartment I had before that.
Hey, I get it. Now, we mentioned relaxing a little bit earlier in the show, and then even you kind of mentioned just stepping back and appreciate. What do you do? I know at camp you guys are busy, but what do you like to do when you're not playing football? When we mentioned the country music a little bit, but what's your go-to?
Yeah, I mean, so right now, like on our off days, we got a group that's been playing a board game together called Settlers of Catan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who's in the group?
Yeah, so the other day we had me, Drew Tranquil, Justin Watson, Leo Chenal, and Cole Christensen all came to my place and play Catan. So it's funny what you get into during camp, but we've been really grinding at that, and, man, we talk crap. It gets competitive. It's a good time.
That's an intense game. That takes several hours to play.
I only played the video game version of it. There's like a video version.
But I'm a big other than that, I'm a big movie guy. I grew up kind of in the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and, you know, like hiking and all that stuff too. So I like to read, and so, I don't know, try and get a little bit out of
pretty well first.
Try to be.
Fixing your house, hunting, playing video games, Settlers of Catan. Well, you're trying.
Trying.
We'll give you credit for trying.
Yeah.
Jack Cochran, Chiefs linebacker, with us here on Cody and Gold. Appreciate the time. The snow cone, Chris Jones was supposed to come by.
I think he forgot
that we were here.
Yeah.
So I think it's
you're welcome to take his, too, but I don't know if he wants it anyway. That one's yours. That was supposed to be Chris's, but
okay.
If he's hot, you can take one with him. Well, give it to a different teammate.
Yeah,
I don't care.
That thing has melted on you a little
bit.
Let's give it a quicker view.
This is the tiger blood, I think, flavor.
It's like 95.
It's good. It's very refreshing, but like it's a little bit melted. It's kind of like more like a drink right now.
Sugar. Like a slushy, but that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, Jack. Appreciate it, man. All right, so that was Jack Cochran joining us earlier today after practice at Chiefs training camp, and our conversations with Chiefs players throughout our coverage at Chiefs training camp is brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. Well, board game action, why not? I played that board game before. It's actually a good time.
I'm kind of hoping my kids will get into board games. So, like, when we were kids, we played a lot of board games. And some of the ones that, like, took a while, right? Monopoly and Risk and...
Yeah.
We played
Life, all those.
We played a lot of the games that, like, took a while. I'm trying to get them into it. We've played a little more board games lately. My daughter's been... She's been enjoying Clue.
Okay, yeah.
Do you think... A classic.
Do you think kids, like, that it's tougher to get them into board games just because... Like, we had Game Boys and stuff, but, like, do you think it's just because now technology, iPads and everything is just so everywhere in your face?
Like, you want to tell me that that's not part of it? It probably is.
Right?
I mean, when I was a kid, the TV was...
We sound old right here. My goodness. Jeez.
Yeah,
we do. Listen to myself. Ugh.
I don't know what to tell you, but that's probably part of it. But there are even more board game choices now than there ever were when I was a kid.
Yeah,
there are, like,
true.
A million different games to play. So many different
and
varieties,
there's
styles, or
not types. Not for kids, but like more like teenage in college or whatever. Like now, there's probably like 20 different spinoffs of Cards Against Humanity now and stuff too. Not even just their own expansion packs, but just there's so
Exploding
many other companies that have tried to spin off of that almost.
Yeah. My kids, I mean, they seem like into it briefly, but they never maintain their interest level long enough to.
Your kid's going to fight over the board game. Someone says, do not buy Monopoly. The game has started more fights than anything in human history.
I would say in the Tap family.
The game never ends.
Until
someone gives up.
The Tap family, we finished plenty of games. The
really?
Tap family, the biggest fight game was Risk. Because here's what would happen. We'd get together. We'd play Risk. You'd get in the game. Someone would go to the bathroom. You form an alliance. You start picking on someone. Then they get pissed.
Yeah.
Because, oh, look at it. It's me and Q. Taking out Alex, and then out of nowhere, I change alliances and I start attacking you anyway, because we're not gonna be friends forever. So really, you're setting yourself up for how long are we willing to be an alliance until I'm like, no more, we're done here.
Expensive board game they're playing, you know.
Settlers of Catan.
There's some cheaper ones out there.
Players.
No, but I'm just general. There's cheaper board games than that. $80. How much is Monopoly these days?
I've never played it. You think I'd like it?
Oh, you'd love it. I think it's right up your alley. Yeah.
Really?
I haven't played the. Does that make sense? Settlers, there used to be a digital version.
There was
maybe
a video
there still
game
is, and that's what I've played it on. I've not actually played the actual board game.
I gotta.
You would like the game?
You think so? How long will it take me to play a game? What's a round take? You know?
I don't know.
Represent settlers establishing fictional Isle of Catan. Players build by spending resources. I mean, it sounds like...
Three or four people you play with.
All right.
You know, play three or four people. You don't play any more than that.
Well, I'm not going to convince my kids to play this, and they're going to be
too
young.
No, it's 10 and up. It's 10 and up, anyway. It's supposed to be 10 and up. In terms of, like, probably is a little, maybe a little too complicated for somebody that's, like, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
It's probably it's a little
I
more strategic.
I can't even get them fully involved in Uno yet. They're, like, they get
really?
It, but, like, they're not, like, into it. The way, and Uno's another one that we fought a lot. But we also played like poker and hearts and stuff against spades, spoons. We played all those when we were kids too. We just played games. I told you, we were a games family.
And we were talking with Cochran about the Morgan Wallen's in town tonight and tomorrow, right? There's two shows, isn't that right?
Yes.
At Arrowhead. And I don't know, tonight may not be the night the players go. Tomorrow night I could see the players going. Because do they have practice Saturday?
I don't know.
It should be an off
We're
day,
not
don't
up
they?
Here, so I'm not sure.
They practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm guessing Saturday's off?
Not sure.
Not always, but maybe.
Yeah. We're not here, so I'm not sure.
I just bring it up because a lot of times they go to this concert. But I don't know if they'll be there tonight or not. It's going to be a hot one at Morgan Wallen, that's for sure.
Yeah. You think?
Brutal.
It's a bit toasty now, let alone...
KC current game tonight as well.
There's a lot going on in KC.
There is. There's a lot at this point.
Could have spent your time coming up here to camp, sweating here, and instead you went the other way.
Someone
says, how does a game actually end? I mean, eventually it's like you know in Monopoly if it's over, right? I'll just be honest. Like, I don't know if you like got to go to the final roll, but the second you land on that hotel that bankrupts your ass, can't, and there's only two of you left, you had to get five perfect rolls in a row to like actually win the damn thing. You knew when it was over. Same as Risk.
I feel like the most
I played
of the, time,
the last dice roll of Risk. I fought to the end.
Most of the time playing Monopoly though is just when somebody got tired of playing and it was just like over. I'm out enough. I'm bored. That's kind of how it ended. When you guys remember there was NFL Monopoly, and what's funny is
NFL Monopoly.
It was in the 90s, and so at that point the Broncos were the best team. Late night, it was like 99, so the Broncos were most expensive. We need an updated version, okay? I want the Chiefs to be Boardwalk and Park Place, okay?
What would be Park Place?
Niners right now, I would say.
Ooh, yeah, probably.
Don't you think?
Who's Baltic? Mediterranean? Who's stuck in the Panthers?
Panthers.
Panthers. Yeah. Panthers are around. Go.
Panthers.
Get your $200 and buy the Panthers. They're all yours.
Yeah, Panthers, Raiders. You know, like.
That's probably the answer.
Something. They need
I remember a new
version of the NFL.
They probably have a new one. You don't know.
That's fair. That is also fair.
When I was in college, my friend group, we had a little initiation, quote unquote, where if you wanted to be part of the core group, you had to play Monopoly. But when we played Monopoly, the trades you could do existed outside of the game of Monopoly, so you could trade real-life things.
Oh.
So one of the things was every time you pass go, he would give his $200 to my other friend. But the trade was that I get to punch you in the stomach as hard as I could.
Oh, my God.
So
that changes the game a little bit.
I get a Snapchat update every, I don't know, April. Of a video of that happening, and it makes me laugh every time.
Did you get punched?
I did not. No. No, I don't care about Monopoly that much.
Man, we loved playing games. I mean, stuff like that. Hearts is still maybe my favorite card game.
The ones we played the most as a kid, Monopoly and played a lot of Life in Clue. Shoots and Ladders, it was all right.
We played backgammon was really common. We played backgammon against each other, and I don't know. It was a little bit of everything, being honest. Good for, you know what? Someone was right. The text line. Jack Cochran just sounds well-rounded.
Yeah.
He's trying to fix his house a little bit. Hunts and fish.
He's a normal
dude. He's out here playing board games. He's just like a regular dude.
Makes sense.
Jack Cochran's like a regular dude name. Just like a, I'm out here playing third, fourth linebacker, kicking it back here with my friends.
Today he got first team reps only because Nick Bolton, unfortunately, is of course out with the elbow injury. So we'll be back at camp tomorrow. Tonight, Royals though begin a 4-game series against the Detroit Tigers, and I don't think it's crazy. You know, when you're playing, knowing the schedule ahead, I need 3 of 4. I really do. I need 3 of 4.
Man, are you already calling for 3 of 4 on August 1st
against the Tigers? I do. Cody, you have Lugo tonight.
Yeah.
Now, Reagan's tomorrow is going to go up against Skubal.
Yeah.
All right? But the Tigers traded away Jack Flaherty already. Like, I think in this position, knowing what's ahead.
That's not crazy.
3 of 4 starting tonight. Get one tonight with Lugo on the bump.
I like that. Let's do that. Let's get the first one. I'm not calling for 3 of 4 yet.
Reminder, Vern's on deck show, 4:30 today. We're going to head back to Kansas City. We'll be back up here in St. Joe tomorrow, live from Chiefs training camp. Thanks to Q producing the show back in the studio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. you can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.